Hi members, and welcome to this week's live session. I hope you've all had a fantastic week and I hope you enjoy today's session. Let's get stuck straight into it. I'll share my screen. And here is our Trello board. Up the top here under next communication, this is today. And what we're going to be covering today, I've got a new daily focus for you. And then we're going to go through a little bit about Google reviews and Facebook reviews or testimonials from patients, and then increasing your case acceptance rate with online consultations. And so this is an area where I've been doing a lot of thought about, and I think there is a fantastic way to not just during this pandemic time, but long term, utilize these online consultations as an added element to your patient communication. So first of all, let's have a look at the daily focus. I hope that you enjoyed the micromanagement and trying to become aware of whether you are like me, trying to control the micromanager in you. I hope that that was an effective topic for the week. Coming up is, I noted within myself, there were two things. I noted within myself the first day of spring, so yesterday, and you look out the window and you are just filled with joy. The first day of spring always seems to be sunny and always seems to bring a renewed hope and enjoyment for the days coming, because we're going from cold to warmth, from darkness to sunshine. And certainly within all the lockdowns and stuff in Victoria, we are desperate to be outside longer than 1 hour at a time. And so that was one thing. I thought, gosh, what a wonderful energy and optimism that spring has brought to my day. The second thing is that this is going back before I owned my practice, I was working at another practice, but I started to get into the routine of every morning bringing a really high energy good morning to people as they walked, team members as they walked into the practice. And when, if I was in there after them, I would seek them out and make sure I said a big good morning to everybody. And I think it has a wonderful impact on the team itself. You imagine if everyone's kind of dragging their feet in the morning, sometimes all people need is a little encouragement to raise the energy up and then to be able to manage the rest of the day with a sense of happiness and a sense of lightness, because of the fact we've actually all made ourselves smile and say positive things in the morning. The morning huddle is also a fantastic space to set the tone for the day. So make sure that it's high energy, there's no grumblings, we're all about happiness and about optimism for the day coming. We're highly skilled individuals with magnificent self-awareness. Everything that happens today, we'll be able to manage it with aplomb. And so the daily focus that you're going to be emailed out every morning for this coming week is bring your best spring energy every morning. The energy you bring every morning can set the tone for the day. Be an example of spring-like energy and greet everyone with an enthusiastic good morning and a big smile. Helping to raise your team's spirit will have a direct impact on how they manage the rest of the day. So I hope that is going to be a powerful one. And if you can get into the habit of it, it just becomes part of what you do. And then because you lead by example, everyone else starts to kind of fall in line with that. And then they start being positive every morning too. What better way to start the day than with positive, happy energy? Now going to the next section of what we're going to be talking about, and this is the value of Google and Facebook reviews and testimonials. So we all know that testimonials are not allowed on our websites, on our Facebook pages, anywhere that we have direct control over. If we have the power to remove that review, we have to get rid of it. However, there's a little bit of a misnomer around this. I was doing some research came across some interesting information, and I thought that is golden. Let me show you, because there is a way of getting positive things being spoken about your practice out there on the public arena, even if you've got control over it and you can close it off if you wish to. So let me show you what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not even full screen here. I wonder, I'm finding it difficult. Share the screen. Going over to this report here. Now, this is from the Australian Dental Association, and it says, it was an article from May 2018. Get your advertising right with APRA's new testimonials tool. And reading through here, have a look at this key sentence. What is acceptable are positive reviews from patients that refer to friendly staff, plenty of parking or extended opening hours, all of which can be used in a practice's advertising efforts. Woohoo! Now, as we know, as dental consumers, patients don't know the difference between a standard filling and an expertly done filling. One crown or another, one cleaning or another. They know if the cleaning hurts and the other one didn't hurt. They don't know how thorough it is. They don't know, possibly, you know, I don't know if it is true. The more it hurts, sometimes the more thorough it is, maybe just the rougher the clinician. So because of the fact that patients, what they are seeking from you is not just wonderful clinical care, something of which they can't make a judgment about, because unless they're a dentist themselves and they've seen what's gone on in their mouth. But what they also want to make sure of is that they're attending a dental practice where they'll be cared for, where they'll be listened to, where they'll be acknowledged and validated in their space, that they will be able to move through their dental journey in a supported and facilitated manner with people that they trust. They want to be in a nice environment that looks clean, professional, and modern. They want to find it easy to get to you, easy to park, with no parking restrictions out the front. They want more things from you than just your clinical expertise. And so when they're making the decision, when they're scanning through all the dentists in their area of which one they're going to go see, they will be looking for that human element. How much will they care about me? How well will I be looked after and cared for within those walls of that practice? And so these are the sort of things that you can get testimonials about. So it's pretty exciting, I feel. And so with your Google testimonials, of course, and Google reviews, you can't do much about what's written there. So those ones can have clinical. I had a terrible crown and then this person did a new crown for me and I love it and it's all wonderful. They gave me whitening. It's made me feel confident and wonderful. Blah, blah. So you can do clinical ones. You can't, for example, advertise that if you come and get whitening for us, your confidence will go through the roof. But if someone was to write that on a Google review, that's fine. You couldn't have that as a testimonial on your website, but what you can have on your website testimonials is all of the other stuff, all the customer service stuff, the patient care stuff. You could even ask for your patients to provide you a testimonial and just be upfront with them. Because we are a health service, we can't place any testimonial about our clinical services up on our website, but we would love to hear what you think about our team and the practice facility itself. Do you feel cared for? Do we do whatever we can to alleviate your anxiety? Are you really happy with the environment? And so you can help guide them, because what we don't want as well is for you to be editing people's testimonials and taking bits and pieces out that's not relevant or that you can't post. But you want them just to be able to have, from where to go, it hasn't been edited by me at all. This is what this patient said. So moving down the path of that, let me just share my screen again. Let's move on to these resources that APRA have given you so you can get it right. Now, when you click into the links here, is this the one I was thinking about? Maybe this one. Here we go. So check, correct, and comply. And it moves through a whole bunch of information and links that will help you. One of the things that it does have is examples common to all regulated professionals. So we'll click on that one. And when you move through here, this is going to be really good for your advertising as well, getting the terminology in your advertising correct. Green text means that it's okay and is unlikely to mislead consumers. The text in orange means it can depend. If you have provided the appropriate context and clarification in your advertising, it is unlikely to be misleading to consumers. And the ones in red, that is an absolute breach of their advertising guidelines. And then they've got you a whole bunch of examples there that you just expand and find out where the issues lie. And once you've gone through all of these, you get a really good feel in your head for what's appropriate and what's not. So, for example, the advertising claim, our treatment can cure cancer. And it obviously tells you the reasons why that is not appropriate. And then it goes through a few other ones. But look at this. Advertising is clearly a testimonial. This one here is, when I was first diagnosed, I felt there was no hope for me to survive. I had constant pain and was unable to care for myself. But then I saw Dr. Smith at Wonders Day Surgery. Dr. Smith agreed with my diagnosis but was able to provide treatment that saved my life. Dr. Smith cured me and I have no more pain. So that is a breach, and they say the reasons why you can't use feedback from patients about your clinical services in your advertising. Testimonials can be misleading for consumers, particularly around clinical services. But then it says what you could say. The practice is lovely and I have been going there for years. Parking is great and there are lots of magazines in the waiting area. So it tells you how you could use a testimonial. So that's one link there that's within the Trello card. Correcting non-compliant advertising. And then I've put a few little acceptable phrases here as well. The practice is lovely and modern. The staff are friendly and caring. Easy access with on-site car parking. Offer extended opening hours. These are all important things to patients. And so there is going to be great value for you to be trying to get some of your patients to provide that kind of testimonial. And the other benefit is that you can put it on your website. So it's pretty tremendous. The other thing that was in there as well was this. Then this is linked to, this is a document that I have put in as an attachment PDF right here. And what this PDF is testimonials in health advertising, a tool to help you get it right. So move through this information and, for example, you know, is the review using advertising? Yes. Is the advertising about a regulated health service and or provider? Yes. Does the review refer to a clinical aspect of care? Yes, not allowed. And then it moves through the information on how to get it right as a practice. This is a nice tool for you to use. So that is attached there as well. So I encourage you to have a look at that and have a look at how you're utilizing your reviews and testimonials, because many of us have this blanket thought, rightly so, that they're just not allowed at all. But it's lovely to get this clarification where they can actually talk about the way you provide your service in terms of customer service and customer experience there. So have a look at that. If you've got any questions, draft or, you know, get the collection of the testimonials that you want to use, send it off to them, get their okay first to make sure that you're doing all the right things. But if there's nothing clinical about it and it's just purely about the practice, the team and level of customer service seems to be pretty good. So we're going to go back to I've already lost myself. There we go. Sharing my screen again. I'm going to go back and tick off the next item off our agenda. The other thing I wanted to mention actually about the reviews. Now, there is the thought that Google reviews, and I've had this thought for a while as well, Google reviews are treated with more validity by the general public rather than Facebook reviews. And that's because that, you know, even bad reviews, you can't just shut them down. On your Facebook page, you can shut down the reviews tab on your business Facebook page. And therefore, if it's filled with bad reviews, no one's going to see them because you are the one that can activate or deactivate that reviews page. However, something I listened to just this past week, I found very interesting. It was an American podcast that I was listening to, but I thought, oh, that's interesting. So they were saying over there, they've got Yelp, and Yelp is notoriously bad from what I hear. Anyone can put bad reviews up on Yelp and that can be quite scathing. And so I think it's a big challenge for the American market. Luckily, I don't think we've got that as an issue here. But they were saying, the question was posed, what's better? What should you be concentrating on, Yelp, Google or Facebook reviews? And he said all of them. They all have validity. So let's just not talk about Yelp. Let's just talk about Google reviews and Facebook reviews. Whereas in the past, Google reviews have been considered a little bit more valid. the problem now that a lot of businesses or a lot of consumers have is they go onto some dental websites and they've got 10, 20, 30 Google reviews. Others they go on and there's 400 of them. Now, I'm certainly not claiming that anyone that has 400 reviews has purchased them, but there are some that have, even with a small number, you know, they've coerced people to be able to put these positive reviews on for them. And so Google reviews become less authentic when you can purchase a whole bunch of them. And some places you can tell quite obviously that there it's a purchase at that particular practice or anything like that, that highlights that they've actually been there. But whereas Facebook reviews, you can either make them active or not, with Google reviews, you can purchase them or not. And so all of a sudden it's a level playing field again. And so if you're thinking, gosh, we should just be concentrating on Google reviews because that's where we think the gold is, I think you're right, but I think there's also gold in the Facebook reviews and doing what you can to get the customer service testimonials in there to make sure that people, when they do log on, and depending on the age demographic, people like me of my seniority tend to go onto websites to find out all the information about a business. Whereas younger people tend to go onto the Facebook page to have a look at what's going on with the practice, what feel the practice has. And so depending on which, where your target market is, think about that in terms of, okay, what does that market want to hear about? Do they want to hear about the breadth of services that we offer? Or do they want to hear about how easy it is to get to us? Or do they want to hear about how well we care for you if you're an anxious patient? So do have a think about who your target market is and recognize how many of them are actually on Facebook business page looking at your reviews as over and above the Google reviews or your website. So populating all of them, I think, is a good idea, making sure you've got them, an element of them everywhere. Okay, let's go into our bigger topic for today, which is increasing your case acceptance rate. Let me make sure I've added everything else there that I can. Yes, I have. Now, because of the pandemic situation, all of a sudden, virtual or online consultations have been spoken about quite a bit. Doing the search this afternoon online, there are a lot of dental practices now offering online consultations. And I think it's really opened up, and I recently wrote an article for Australasian Dental Practice Magazine, which will probably be out in a couple of months' time. But I thought I'd talk about it because I think, again, now is a time that we can be implementing these sort of systems, but I don't think this one is just for the time of the pandemic. I think there is an opportunity and a magnificent opportunity to have these online consultations available to patients long term. And this is the kind of experience that I think would be useful for you. So first of all, let me just go through a couple of the ways that are useful for using the online consultations, but the one way that I think is really going to deepen the engagement of your existing patients. So first of all, we can do online public webinars. Have you ever thought about doing that? So I know that one of the most successful ways I've heard of a practice getting strong new patient flow coming in for specific services is an implant practice over in the US. And they started just in their general, in their local area, they opened up their dental doors, their dental practice doors. Every 3 months, they'd have an information night just about implants. And they would invite everybody, their existing patients, but they'd put the advert out to the whole community. And they would have patients who have accepted implant treatment or have been in discussions with implant treatment at other practices coming to their information night because they still had questions about it. Let's never forget, patients, even though we describe things to them carefully, it is outside of their level of understanding and it takes a lot of research from them and engaged communication with you in order for them to feel educated about it enough to then be able to educate somebody else about it. You know, they say the best way to make sure that somebody truly understands what you're saying is to teach them and then get them to teach you back again. Many patients also don't need to have that level of intimate awareness around what's going on because they simply trust you. If you say this is the best thing for them, they trust in you, they get the treatment done, they're happy, and then they start experiencing all the wonderful outcomes that was assured to them. And so that it's a happy scenario But these information sessions, you know, have all the team there to welcome patients or to welcome the public in. Everyone, there's a rows of chairs there in the waiting room, and there is a PowerPoint up on the wall. You've taken down some picture hangings and you've got the PowerPoint up there on the wall. And it's a simple 20-minute presentation where you take a patient through why implants are suggested for particular missing teeth instances and the kind of outcomes they can expect to achieve. They can then all ask as many questions as they like. They also get a chance to meet all your team. They get to see your premises looking all professional and lovely. There's a few drinks there, a few nibbles. Everyone walks away very happy. You've opened your doors up. You've further engaged your existing patients. You have engaged potential new patients. And you are getting the reputation in your area for really caring about your community by providing these free information nights. Once you do a few of them, you get into the real groove, have little welcome bags, that, you know, little information bags they can take away with them. You could record the session so they can then get a follow-up email with a recording link on it as well, and you can really build out that experience for them. A very effective way of marketing your practice and the particular service that you offer. It could be Invisalign, it could be something else, wisdom teeth extractions, it could be all sorts of things. So whatever you do specifically, doing these sort of events at your practice are great. But now that people can't all gather in your practice, what about doing them online? How much easier that? You don't have to go through and make sure the practice is A-OK perfect. You don't have to get your team members to wait back for an evening and entertain all of these people. What you can do instead is conduct a webinar just like this. And so this is me presenting, I'm sharing my screen, I'm showing you bits and pieces. You can do exactly the same thing. You can promote a webinar about a particular topic and just see how many people register. Once they've registered, you're taking them through a process, you've got all of their email addresses, you can send them follow-up information to make sure they understood everything. You can have it so they can actually write their questions, type their questions in the chat as you're doing the presentation, have a staff member read the chat and gently interrupt you so you can answer these questions all the way through, or you're answering them all at the end. Make sure you hang back at the end of the webinar for plenty of time so you can actually get all of these questions brought to the floor and answer them, because if one person's got the question, other attendees will likely have the question as well. So if you found it a useful tool to use in terms of generation of new patients, continue using that. And do it for more services, because it's in that kind of format. All of a sudden you can do a webinar on childhood eruption of teeth, how to look after baby teeth, when children should start. So early years oral care management and your advice around that, and have all the parents sign up to the webinar. And so you can answer all of their questions. You can have one for orthodontics, how to clean your teeth during, you know, ortho care and different types of orthodontic appliances that are available. And you can go through all your range of services and do a particular evening on that for your perio patients, for the patients that are on that, oh gosh, do we send them off to a periodontist or not? For that band of patients, make sure that they all get an invitation saying, you know, it was noted at your last few appointment times that the periodontal situation is getting a little bit worse. We're holding a webinar. Why don't you attend and get some more information around what's going on for you? And so when you think about that you can become this source of great dental education in your area, you become the go-to place for it. It's wonderful. So I think that is a tremendous opportunity online that can go well beyond the pandemic. So that just becomes something that you guys do. Every couple of months, you're putting out a new webinar. You could do one on all on how dental medical conditions are impacted by dental. So this is an area that I've got a particular hook into. I have always been curious. I've been in dental surgery since I was 17. I'm about to turn 50 years old, and I can't remember any situation where a patient came in because they were advised to by their GP because they'd just been diagnosed with diabetes or heart condition or stroke, or they were being put on a bisphosphonate's a little bit different. Certainly have seen a handful of those people who are about to go on bisphosphonate tablets, but I'm amazed at the lack of GP referrals that dental practices get. So you get your foot in the door, do a webinar. You could even be focused, not just in your area, but broaden it out a little bit so you get lots of people attending. And you can have a presentation on what you have learned today and what studies indicate the connection between dental oral health and these medical conditions. Another great opportunity. The other way you can use the online consultation space is just as an added feature for an existing patient or a searching patient. And so you've got it on your website. If you've got any questions, if you need a bit of advice, book a time with us, the dentist, and then we can get online and you can have a complimentary 15-minute consultation to answer any questions. It could be as simple as what's involved in tooth whitening, or see this chipped tooth, can I leave that, or does it need to be looked after and restored? So that's another opportunity where just for random questions. And you know, I do suggest that I have thought about whether these sort of things are charged for. I'm sure there's a space where you could charge for these sort of things, and I do agree that what you information advice that you charge for is you value more as a consumer because you've paid money for it. But maybe in the early stages, while you're getting your footing with it, just no charge consults at the moment. And then if you're feeling like, gosh, there's an opportunity here to provide some true value, because I think some of the health funds now are looking at, if they haven't already provided an item number for online consultations. And so if that's the case, then there's obviously a valid reason to charge for them. The area that I've focused on with the article that I've recently written, and what I think is so prudent at the moment, is your incomplete treatment list. Certainly in Victoria, we're still on restrictions in terms of what we can provide patients, and so there's still some downtime where we can think of alternative ways to make sure that we are still caring for our patients. Because, you know, there are so many patients that are delaying treatment that if they'd said months ago, am I able to delay this treatment? We would have said, no, you need it. Like, there's a sense of urgency about this. But all of a sudden, because of the restrictions, we're forced into delaying it. But where's the further guidance and advice until they get to the time where they can actually have that appointment time? And so if you are in a position where you can't actually actively do a whole bunch of treatment on patients right now, even if you can, it doesn't matter. I keep wanting to adjust what I say for all this, it covers all the states. But it doesn't even matter if you're in lockdown or not. What you can do is offer a complimentary online consultation with patients who have outstanding treatment in their treatment plan, so they can connect with you. You can find out how they're moving through their oral condition at the moment, if they're getting any symptoms, offer guidance and support of, you know, if it's a perio thing, we'll just make sure that you are flossing and you're doing this and you're doing that, doing some saltwater mouth rinses, whatever the advice may be. If it's a filling, a cracked tooth that you're going to crown, we'll just make sure that you don't eat ice blocks on the area or bones or anything. Make sure you are kind of throwing major eating on the other side of your mouth. And so you can offer pieces of advice that's going to tie them off until they can get the treatment done. But you can further explain all the elements of the treatment. There's a reason why they haven't booked in yet. And if the reason isn't because of the pandemic, then that means they haven't been properly engaged. I shouldn't say that. It makes it sound like someone's doing the wrong thing. That means they haven't become engaged enough in the outcomes they can achieve by the suggested treatment. And an online consultation is lovely because it doesn't require surgery setup. You've already done the examination. You know what's going wrong in that patient's mouth and you know what's already been suggested to them. So it just requires additional communication, not necessarily another clinical examination. So you don't have to waste surgery time on it. And you can put time aside in your schedule every week. Could be 1 hour, it could be 2 hours, depending on how popular the service is, that, you know, every Friday at 4 o'clock, the dentist is online. That's the time he does these online consultations. And you can go through a very elegant process of describing something to the patient in a way that's possibly achieving a deeper level of communication, more effective communication than if they were actually in the surgery itself. So have a think about it. They're in the comfort of their own home. There's no dental smells, no drilling in the background. There's no time pressures or less time pressures. They're not worried about other patients in the waiting room hearing the communication. And they can actually involve another, you know, their partner in. Can you come into the screen and see what's going on with my mouth at the moment? This is what was suggested last time that I didn't quite remember or understand or whatever. And this is what's going on. These sessions can be recorded so the patient can play them back to themselves to remind themselves of all the details, or play it back for a partner who may not be present at the time. And the sort of things that you can involve in that presentation, for example, we've got this Zoom tool in front of us. We can share screen. And so when you're sharing screen, I don't have a dental software here at the moment, but you can say, look at, this is the last x-ray that we took of your tooth. Can you see where there was decay? This is the last intraoral image that we took of your tartar. Can you see where it's built up? This is the charting that we did on your initial examination. So let me move through all the teeth that have decay, so you're aware. And then you can start showing them, this is a tooth anatomy. This is what's going on with your mouth. And when you're in screen share, you've got an area in the menu where it's got annotate. And within that, you can all of a sudden have a really good element to help further engage the patient in what's going on for them. You've got a crack in your tooth. If the crack was just within the enamel, that would be fine. But it's actually extended through to the dentine of the tooth, and I fear it will extend to the nerve. If it extends to the nerve, then the nerve itself will die, and you'll need to have a root canal filling or a tooth extraction. And you can start, you can put a little stamp here. You know, for example, this area here is where your bone level should be. Yours is actually down to here. And so you've lost this much bone in your periodontal condition, and that doesn't grow back. But what we can do is try to arrest it there so it doesn't go any deeper, because the deeper we go, the closer we are to losing that tooth in the future when there's not enough bone to hold onto it anymore. So all of a sudden you've got this way of describing things to patients where it becomes much more engaging for them. If you make a funny thing, you can just clear all the drawings or the previous drawing and start again. You can put a circle. This is the area of concern for me. This is where, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so that is good, but can you imagine recording all of this? And so they're going back over your diagram drawings again and again. Magnificent. You can also show them, give them an indication of, clear all drawings, get rid of that. These are some before and afters of tooth bonding or whitening or a crown before and after, getting rid of a metal margin over a crown by getting a new zirconia crown. You can start bringing in some before and after pictures as well. If you've got the patient in front of you, the other thing that can happen as well is they can actually say, see this tooth here, right there, and they can come straight up to the camera and show you something inside their mouth. And it won't be perfect, but it will be better than trying to hear the description themselves. How often is it? Gosh, I've been in receptions for so many years. How often has the patient said, I've got a massive break in my tooth, like most of the tooth is gone, and they come in and it's like a third of it's chipped away. It's not most of it. It's just a small part of it's broken away. The third's quite a bit, actually. So all of a sudden, you're actually getting an image of what's going on in that patient's mouth. So you can say, actually, that's not too bad when you consider the whole tooth is the root as well, and da da da. So it's not as bad as you might think. I don't think it's actually through to the nerve as yet. So there is a lot you can do in terms of engaging your patients in the treatment that you've suggested in the past, but they haven't taken any action on as yet. Different if they've said, I've thought about all the pros and cons and I'm choosing not to get any treatment done. I want to just leave it. That's different. This is where you've had no commitment from the patient one way or another. So you want to re-engage them in this process of what can I do in order to properly educate that patient. In the past, we've always defaulted straight to bring the patient back in again for another consultation. Sometimes that is a challenge. You know, the patient works, they're busy, they're not seeing it as important enough to waste their time on it. But a virtual consultation is a different story. An online consultation can, just because you can record it, it is more effective communication. Better than a phone call. With a phone call, you've only got voice, tone, and the words that you say. You can't draw pictures. You can't show them diagrams. You can't have their interaction as well. Because even with their interaction, they can come in and annotate themselves. What about this area? You could have a picture of their smile or of, you know, the intro or pictures of them, and you're going through, can you see here that large amalgam filling? And they go, yeah, what about that back bit? And they're actually annotating on that screen as well. It's all being recorded. Wonderful, glorious. So I think there is an enormous opportunity. Why would you stop doing these online consultations for patients that require that additional communication around what they need for their mouth? So I've drafted a couple of letters, if you wanted to go down this path, that you could send out to your incomplete treatment list. One of them is, the first one is not to your list. The first one's going to be, this is just a letter that you could send out to your client base. You could email it out if you like. Keep in mind my thoughts around email. If patients aren't expecting an email from you, the chances of them opening it are less than 50%. When we're engaged in, or we know the person that's emailing us, the open rate, I think at that point, is at 28-33%, that kind of range. But most people, I shouldn't say most people, there are groups within society that look at their emails every day. I'm certainly one of them. I look at many times every day. But there are others that don't look at their emails for days, weeks, months. I've worked with many dental teams. And when you email out staff meeting minutes, there is zero guarantee that they'll all read them. Some of them say, oh, did you send me something? Oh, I only look at my emails about once a month. And then can you imagine how clogged it is with all the advertising stuff? And so they'd be delete, 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 or they go to scan. I'll just scan, see if there's anything important. And so unless a patient knows to expect something from you and wants the value from that communication, there's every chance they won't see it. I feel like this is worthy of a physical letter, and you can do it in batches, you know, to not overload everything, just to see how things go. Just do the A's first and see how things go. And I'll just share my screen. The letters I've got attached here, online consultation service and online consultation service for incomplete treatment patients. Let's move through the first one first. So you pop all your details up the top there. I've left it as a Word document so you can easily edit it. Certainly it's promoting through the pandemic period. So firstly, how are you? The pandemic has been difficult, has been a difficult experience for so many people. I hope you are finding opportunities of enjoyment and happiness. Our team at the practice have been wonderful. Everyone has pulled together to support each other and our value patients. One of the benefits that has come out of this pandemic is the introduction of our online consultation service. It has proven to be a very effective method of communication with patients. We have been able to discuss dental concerns, provide advice, and deliver detailed information about upcoming treatment plans. Some of the advantages to the online consultation service are: the camera allows you to show us particular areas in your mouth you may wish to discuss. The share screen option lets us show and explain aspects of your radiographs, intraoral pictures, and charting. Your consultation happens in the comfort of your own home. Your consultation can be recorded for you to view again later or show a trusted family member. Patient, if you have any dental concerns that you would like to discuss, we are here for you anytime. However, if you would like to discuss anything using our online consultation service, simply go to the following link and arrange a time with me. Online consultation booking link is da-da-da. And I always suggest these ones, anything around clinical needs to come from the dentist themselves. Now, the booking link for the online consultation, I have left also Calendly.com. Remember Andrew Lee from Health Practice Digital? He was one of our special guests around marketing, online marketing. And he suggested this. This is a great addition, that if you were going to start offering this, can you imagine your web page that you have got information around and an offering of your online consultation service to organize an appointment, a complimentary consultation, click on this link. And that link opens up a calendar and shows the times that you are available for the online consultation service. They just select one. You get an alert. There's an online consultation booked in. It's got the patient's name. If they're an existing patient, you can go into their details on the dental software, research them, and then call them at the appropriate time, at the allocated time, and move through their concerns with them. If they're not an existing patient, they're a potential existing patient. They may be from far away, but at least you're helping, you're providing useful advice because the free ones that you can just answer any query, if it's only 15 minutes, it doesn't matter because you are putting into practice this lovely system that you're going to be refining over all of your consultations to be something that's of true value and it's a seamless, elegant process for them to go through. So don't resist giving advice to somebody from another state or another country. Don't resist it. Just do it. Consider it more and more practice, more and more awareness of the questions that are going on out there in society about their dental concerns and what concerns they have. And so the Calendly is great because it's free as well. And so utilize that and that way you can actually put a booking link in that communication to the patient and on your website as well, on your Facebook page. If this is an emailed letter, of course you'd have the booking link embedded into the hyperlink into the email itself. And how about this? Now, if you have moved through the incomplete treatment management online course, JPPS online course, or you were with me and seen the recording of the live session on this particular topic, you'll see some of the similar elements of the incomplete treatment letter that was delivered back then. So, dear patient, firstly, how are you? The pandemic has been a difficult experience for so many people, blah, blah, blah. It goes through the same elements. And then, after you've gone through the advantages of the online consultation service, patient, you may remember from your last visit with us that there is some advice treatment that has not yet been completed. The following details the oral condition you were diagnosed with and the different options for treatment that are available to you. Now, you can say that this was the singular suggested treatment for you. Some things will only have two options, do nothing or get the filling done. But other things, you can do nothing, get a large filling or get a crown done. You can do nothing, you can get a bridge done or an implant done. So there are sometimes three different options. I like giving patients the options because it provides them with the power to make a decision for their own dental health and therefore they feel a greater sense of responsibility over getting that treatment done. And it also helps to, you know, they can choose to do nothing, but at least it's a stated plan that is still a plan moving forward for them. Okay, the thing we do moving forward is do nothing and we call you back in for a 6-month recall. Otherwise, people remain in you know, this limbo space of treatment that needs to be done that hardly ever gets followed up on because sometimes it's such an enormous task to follow up on all these things. So what you can do then, if you have got some downtime or if you want to put some time aside every week as a clinician or you've got a patient coordinator or experienced dental nurse that can do the same sort of thing based upon your clinical notes from the previous treatment or the examination of the patient, you just get a handful of patients and you do this slowly one by one, seeing enormous value in the one by one. Don't feel like I've got to do 100 of these or 50 of these. No, just get three done in every session. Track it, see how things are going. What do they call it? Suck it and see. Suck the process and see if it works. So the conditions, this is where you type in the condition of the patient. Now keep in mind, it's when you state the condition of the patient that the patient's in, this is where you're trying to help them identify they have a need that needs to be addressed. And so what the condition does is state what's going on for them. And hopefully they remember from your magnificent explanation last time. I suggested the following treatment option for you. And so option one is always the ideal option. So the treatment was this. The benefits are, it's a permanent solution, predictable long-term comfort and functionality, no need to affect adjacent teeth, aesthetically pleasing, high peace of mind. So this one is for an implant, for example, where you've got no need to affect adjacent teeth. What you'll find is you would be able to template a lot of this letter, because the option one, the ideal option, is always going to be a permanent solution, is always going to be predictable long-term comfort and functionality. If it's towards the front, it's going to be aesthetically pleasing, and you're always going to have high peace of mind. And so much of what you put in the benefits there, you could actually just have those four and get rid of the no need to affect adjacent teeth. Just have the four there and just have a read through, make sure that they are, supposed to be there. You could put 10 there and take out the ones that aren't relevant. So you can template a lot of this. The drawbacks are, it's a higher financial outlay and several visits are required. That normally is also the case with the most ideal option. The price is that. My advice, always give your advice. How many patients say, well, what would you do? Because they don't know. They don't have all of the information, the wisdom and the education around dental as you do. So they are literally coming to you for advice. And a lot of dentists are a bit shy about delivering that advice. But how about this? This option is the one that offers you the best outcome in terms of function, aesthetics, and comfort. It is my advice that this is the best option to resolve your condition. I think that's quite fair advice. Option two. It was this. It's semi-permanent solution rather than permanent solution. Short-term predictable comfort and functionality rather than long-term. It is a lower financial outlay. That is a benefit. You do not lose the chance to opt for option one in the future should you want to continue down that path. That's a wonderful benefit of the option twos. The drawbacks is a risk of breakdown and additional treatment in the future. That's usually always true for option twos. And reduced peace of mind. That's absolutely true. This is the price. My advice, even though this is not a complete resolution, option two will address the immediate concerns of your condition. If you deem option one is as unattainable, then I advise you commence with this option in the near future. Fair advice. Option three, do nothing. Everyone's always got the option of doing nothing. More than three options can overwhelm and lead to confusion. Three options is ideal. Benefits, no financial outlay. No further appointment times for this condition. The drawbacks, further breakdown will occur. Resolutions become more complex and more expensive with the additional breakdown. Possibility of pain in the future, low peace of mind. That's all templated. That can all just stay put for majority of your treatment plans. Price, nil. My advice, I do appreciate the challenges many patients face when deciding what treatments are best for them. I understand that at times these challenges can make the option of doing nothing rather appealing. However, the drawbacks of choosing this option for your particular condition lead me to advise against it. We can schedule a time for this treatment as soon as you contact us. However, if you would like to discuss this further, I encourage you to go to the following link and arrange a complimentary online consultation with me. I would be happy to step you through the details. Here's the link. I have asked the receptionist to give you a call in a few days to follow up, but feel welcome to contact us anytime before then. So I hope you see the benefit of utilizing the online consultation service as a long-term additional level of service that you provide for dental patients. And I think if it's just a process of getting all the ducks in a row, that's straightforward. First thing tomorrow, get Calendly. Okay, I keep forgetting how to say it. Calendly. Calendly. So get Calendly. Get that organized. Get your IT person to add an additional page to your website offering the online consultation service. Let's get a brainstorming session with the team. Organize, okay, which group are we going to start appealing to first? I think the incomplete treatment list is a great idea. Let's role play a couple of them, get the feel for it. You go into that room, I'll go into this room. I'm going to take you through someone, a random person's treatment plan. And let's go through things. Let's get really used to the tools that are within Zoom, the sharing of the screen, the this, the that. what can we do in, maybe the minute a patient books in, they get an email sent to them. Preparation for your appointment time. This is confirming your online booking. Preparation. Feel free to take any photographs inside your mouth that are relevant and forward them on to me. Make sure that you've got Zoom and you open up this link and so you provide a little how-to, a step-by-step how-to for the patient so they feel comfortable with it. So I encourage you to go down this path and make sure I've got everything here, that I've mentioned everything that I wanted to. That's the other thing I wanted to mention as well, actually. Do make sure that you are putting your best foot forward when you are doing your online consultations. And so make sure the background is nice and professional, not messy and cluttered. Make sure you are dressed in appropriate attire. Make sure everybody knows, the team members know, that you are in that surgery or in that room doing your online. You could do that from home even, but just try not to have people barging in or walking through and creating a whole lot of noise and havoc behind you. Make sure that it's uninterrupted time. It's just between you and the patient. You're engaged with them and you want to maintain that level of engagement. And also, of course, if it is an existing patient and you're going through the incomplete treatment, read the notes beforehand, get familiar with the information beforehand, rather than obviously indicating to the patient, oh, I've just got to read everything first to get back up to speed again. No, be nice and prepared for those sessions. You could even get them to fill out a form prior to as well. If you're moving down the path of just answering any random pieces of advice for them, you could include a bit of a form for them to fill out. But if you complicate it, people will be less inclined to jump on board with it. And I think to give it its best shot, let's try to remove all the barriers for engagement and really start to provide the kind of value that patients go, wow, that was so useful for me. I really understand things more now, or I really had my questions answered now. That's fantastic. So you can play videos, of course, with your share screen as well, and you can really engage them in whatever way is needed for them to be better informed and educated about what's going on for them. Let me go back to sharing screen, and then we're going to wrap it up for today. So feel free to use those letters, of course. I've ticked that off. I've ticked this off. We're no longer top priority. We are going to be dragging this over to our completed section. And we have our next session, of course, next Wednesday, which is the 9th of September. And I hope that everyone has a magnificent week. If you need any advice or guidance or have ideas for upcoming live sessions, please let me know. I love talking about things that are relevant for everybody in their world. And I know in each state it's all a little bit different at the moment because there's different levels of restrictions going on around the place. I was speaking to a dental receptionist from another state and I said, oh, so what kind of restrictions do you have at the moment? She said, oh, I don't really think we have any. And I'm like, that's just so awesome in terms of how much treatment they can provide patients. In Victoria, we're so, like, everyone's so intimately aware of, can we do a cleaning? Can we do an extraction? It's quite crazy. So hopefully all of this time will pass us by quite quickly and swiftly and we can all get back to practicing as normal, which would be wonderful. But hopefully you can see the value of these online consultation services that you can offer your patients once you get used to doing them. I think you can start to enjoy them as well, see them as a time saver, but it will absolutely increase your case acceptance rate. There's no question about it, because you're addressing the barriers with the patient that's stopping them from booking in. And it could be, again, one of those things that are a talking point. So you're getting more referrals because people are thinking, gosh, that practice are on board. That's fantastic. What if you end up getting calls from patients who, I've had a treatment plan presented to me, or another dentist has suggested something to me. I've still got questions about it. Can you help me? You go, yes, yeah, I can help you. And you educate them. You may start to improve your new patient numbers from it as well. Enjoy the rest of your evening as well. I look forward to seeing you all next Wednesday. See you later.